You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
Fresh from America's dairy land.
Ladies and gentlemen.
From the Benches Podcast.
Listening to From the Benches with Ross Uglum and Ryan Hilsland.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of From the Benches. It is yet another Victory Monday episode. I am actually here in person with Ryan Hilsland. Ryan, how are you doing this fine morning?
I am exhausted, but also excited. You and I drove Sunday morning, got up about 7 a.m. to get on the road, drove to Lambeau to watch the game, and obviously it was an exciting win, a huge early season win, but running on not a whole lot of sleep. Could be doing better, but excited nonetheless.
Ryan, what were you doing back in North Dakota?
I was an usher in a wedding on Friday night and Saturday for wedding festivities, so the early morning Sunday was not all that positive.
Ryan, to your knowledge, did anything else go on in North Dakota on Saturday?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I, of course, am giving Ryan a little bit of trouble because one of the schools I went to, North Dakota State, laid waste to his alma mater, North Dakota, in their first meeting in a dozen years, 34-9.
Did that happen?
It did. It did happen. But on to professional football, Green Bay took care of the Seahawks last night. They took care of the defending NFC champions. The final score was 27-17, and Jayron Elliott actually sealed that one up with a forced fumble that Micah Hyde recovered. Brian Bulaga got injured during practice this week. He was not able to go. It sounds like he had some meniscus damage as well as a sprained MCL. Initial reports have him possibly coming back after the Packers' bye, which I do believe is in week 7. Sam Barrington's injury was announced. He's going to be out for the season. Don Barclay, Nate Palmer, those are the guys that you'll see stepping up there. Morgan Burnett returned, and not surprisingly, so did the run defense. And finally, during this game, Devontae Adams, Eddie Lacy, and Josh Boyd were injured. Ryan, do we know anything about those injuries?
Lacy appears to not be a broken ankle, right?
Yep.
Josh Boyd, small broken ankle bone, not as serious as it looked. That looked pretty bad on the field last night. Apparently he got some good news this morning, and Devontae was able to come back in the second half. Clearly wasn't 100%, but was able to return to the field. So that's obviously positive news. It doesn't look like any of these three injuries are really serious. Still waiting on some more clarification on Lacy, but it does not appear that it's a broken ankle, which is obviously positive. Hopefully he also avoids that high ankle sprain designation. Hopefully this is something minor that he'll come back in a week or two from.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the experience of the game. You and I have been to a lot of games at Lambeau Field. This one seemed different. Even in last year's Patriots game, have you ever seen that place so lit up?
Yeah, it was wild. It probably had a lot to do with the city of Green Bay being allowed to just drink all day and the game not starting until 7:30. But the crowd was there. Yeah, there was an energy in the crowd walking through the atrium, walking through the halls before we even stepped out into the stands. it was just a buzz, and it was really exciting. And then the game started, and you and I were both just train wrecks. I was not doing well physically, just shaking from nerves and whatnot. Obviously, after the NFC Championship game last season, this was obviously a big game. The players, coaches will downplay that as much, but as fans, we don't have to. This was huge, and it was exciting to be there, exciting to feel that buzz in prime time on a Sunday night, and it was a great atmosphere. Probably maybe the best I've been to. The Patriots game last year was pretty excellent also, that we both attended, but this was something different.
And I'm not convinced that the players were downplaying it that much either. There was some chippy stuff that went on. Rodgers kind of took a shot at Wilson after the game in the post-game press conference.
And he threw a ball away at Carroll.
Yeah, I don't think that the Packers like the Seahawks very much. I don't have much of a taste for Seahawks fans. The ones that we sat by at this game were really obnoxious. Really obnoxious. I made the comment to you. I had the misfortune of kind of having a trip booked down to the Super Bowl last year. I was down there in amongst all of the 12s, as they like to call themselves. And mm-hmm. I had mentioned to you, man, I don't think anybody that I've seen has gear on that they bought any less recently than three seasons ago. Everything was made by Nike.
The brand new Nike stuff. Yeah. Everybody. I did see one guy in a Walter Jones jersey from back in the day with a beat up hat. So I appreciated that. But yeah, everybody's got a brand new Nike, Russell Wilson or Richard Sherman or Marshawn Lynch. They're all shiny, brand new jerseys. And it's annoying.
It would just be nice to believe that some of them have been fans for longer than 45 minutes or
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the big star of the game. Number 91 in your programs, and certainly this weekend, number one in our hearts, Jayrone Elliott. What a monster performance. Pro Football Focus only had him for 10 defensive snaps. He was one of the highest graded players. Had a huge interception of Russell Wilson that, we were only up 7 at the time they had the ball. Certainly had a chance to tie. Talk about what you saw from him and what maybe you think we can do with him moving forward.
Well, he obviously took advantage of what he was given, like you said, just 10 snaps and made two of the biggest plays, do the biggest plays of the game. And if that's something that obviously you're not expecting 20% of his snaps to be turnovers going forward, but if he's a guy who can just, tend to be in the right place at the right time and, not make big mistakes like some of the other younger defensive guys in the rotation, like a Nate Palmer, I guess Mike Neal's not really a younger guy now, but if he can get in there and be kind of a playmaker and be a guy who can take advantage of a smaller amount of snaps, that's pretty great. He looked really good in camp. He was very good on special teams last season. He's been a special teams guy this year now. But if he does things like that in a small amount of snaps that he gets on defense, he's going to see that snap count increase. And I don't think I would be heartbroken if we see more Jayrone Elliott and less Mike Neal going forward.
Well, even if he can take 6 or 7 snaps from Julius Peppers, I mean, there's nothing wrong with how Julius is playing, but there's no reason that he can't, occasionally get a blow and maybe mm-hmm. not be on the field for so many downs. You get a guy like Elliott who's flashed some pass rush ability and who's clearly athletic. That was very impressive. Ryan, what Green Bay Packer did his forced fumble remind you of at the end of the game?
Yeah, it reminded you a little bit of Charles Woodson coming in from behind and swinging an arm in and getting the ball loose. Jayrone Elliott turns into a Charles Woodson type playmaker. Great. But I don't think either of us are expecting that. But yeah, it's nice to have a timely turnover like that on the defense. It's something that's been a little bit lacking since Mr. Woodson left town.
Yeah, it just reminded me of the classic Woodson tomahawk chop. That defense, those defenses that he was on, always getting turnovers, and Jayrone was a big part of two of them tonight. Hopefully, he gets more defensive snaps moving forward. Ryan, we're gonna dip behind the benches now. We got to talk a little bit of X's and O's and really bore the hell out of people and talk about some line play.
Great.
BJ Raji looks like he is officially back. This is now the second week in a row where there has been absolutely nothing going on for the opposing team running the ball up the middle. Now, both times they switched to perimeter runs. You know, Chicago was stretch type stuff, outside zone. Mm-hmm. Matt Forte going against our edge defenders and winning. And then this week, Seattle actually had to go read option because their guys could not block Daniels and Raji.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about, I mean, do you view this as a big positive, or is this kind of an issue where, yeah, but if we can get run on the edge, what's really, how great, honestly, is this?
Oh, I don't think that's going to be a big problem. I just like to see that push up the middle. That's something that's going to be big. If Raji and Daniels can be that kind of a force in the run game in the middle, that's huge. If, you know, if it takes away a dimension of an opposing offense, you know, if, you know, people start adjusting, offenses start adjusting, doing perimeter stuff, doing some different stuff, then it's up to Capers to adjust right back. But if there's, if an offense has an inability to run up the middle, that's something that's taken away. That's a page out of an offensive coordinator's repertoire. But yeah, Raji looks real nice. He was in the backfield a lot yesterday. And after week one, you looked at the Seahawks offensive line. Their Pro Football Focus grades were just all red. All of them played terrible. And you thought, well, maybe it's just because the Rams have that incredible front four. Maybe they just got eaten up by an elite front. But the Packers had no trouble getting penetration up the middle. They turned the centers and guards around quite a bit. Raji was in the backfield, Daniels in the backfield, and that was allowing linebackers to come down in and fill. And the middle of the field was, or the middle of the line was just clogged. There was nowhere for Lynch to go. Lynch had 41 yards on 15 carries, I think, which is a great number. Got loose for a few. I think his long was 11 yards. Had a couple of first down runs, but for the most part, he was getting stopped in the backfield, turning around, and for a change against Marshawn Lynch, the Packers were able to get two or three guys making a tackle, and he wasn't able to bounce off a guy in the backfield and turn it into a 15 yard run. He was getting stopped in the backfield, and then for the most part, getting gang tackled by two or three guys, and not doing his usual, you know, break four tackles and go crazy. But yeah, the Seahawks' adjustment to going to the read option was obviously successful right away. Mike Neal was able to make a big stop on a read option on Russell Wilson. Hopefully, that's a sign that Dom Capers and those edge defenders can adjust to that. Obviously, you'd like to see that a little quicker. It's not like it's a big surprise that the Seahawks are going to do some read option stuff. You hope that they would have been a little bit more ready for that coming in, but if they're able to adjust and slow it down at some point, that's going to be big, because if that running up the middle is not there, then then it becomes a bit of a chess match between the offense and Dom Capers.
Yeah, with Colin Kaepernick coming up in 2 weeks, I mean, that's another demon that we have a chance to get rid of. They looked okay against the Vikings, but the Vikings might be terrible. I'm not 100% sure, because San Francisco just got absolutely blown out by Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So we'll see what goes on in 2 weeks. Outside of Kaepernick, I don't see that many more, you know, read option type players, but that doesn't mean that Matt Forte stuff, you know, those straight outside zone runs,
yeah,
stuff like that. I mean, that might still be an issue if we can't get the edge cleaned up. You mentioned the poor grades in the Rams game for those Seahawks interior defensive linemen. Do you think there's a chance that's just what it is, that the Bears and Seahawks aren't very good up front, or do you really think that Daniels and Raji are onto something?
Oh, I think it's perfectly likely that, I mean, we've seen it out of Daniels. Daniels has been this kind of player. He's been a bit inconsistent, but you've seen this ability from him. And then, obviously, it's been a while, but we've seen it from Raji, too. And then last year in training camp, you were seeing this, and then obviously he's lost for the season with an injury. But it's not like this is something we've never seen out of BJ Raji and Mike Daniels. It's maybe against a better interior line, it's not quite as obvious, but it's definitely a good sign for me that they've been able to do this. When you play lesser players, you know, the guys should go out there and make an impact. It's what you want to see. We'll see what it goes against more quality interior linemen, but it's certainly a positive. I don't think it's a fluke that either of these guys look good in the run on the inside.
Yeah, to me, Raji looks like he did last year in camp, and I know that. I mean, he tore his biceps, but I can't really tell that he's got any upper body leverage, you know, issues that he wouldn't have had if that didn't happen. I think he looks, you know, just like he did, and obviously, you know, he's on a 1-year deal. He's looking to get paid at the end of this, and we'll see if that's by Green Bay or somebody else. You know, with Troy Guyon only being on a 1-year deal, the Packers don't have a long-term option at nose tackle, and maybe they just get something done with Raji, and he can retire as a Packer. I mean, he's a big part of kind of the folklore after that 2010 run and the interception in the title game and doing the Aaron Rodgers belt, and he was absolutely dominant in the Super Bowl. So that would not be something that would upset me to see number 90 just stick around.
No, absolutely not.
Ryan, let's go kind of to negative town just for a minute. I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but right now we need to just at least stop by. Both tackles did not play well today. David Bakhtiari struggled, and Don Barclay struggled. Barclay is a backup. David Bakhtiari is not. This is his third year starting, and he's been a pass blocker. I mean, that we've always complained. I wrote an article about it this offseason. Every Packers offensive lineman that got major snaps last year was positive in both run blocking and pass blocking, except one. David Bakhtiari really struggled run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's not pass blocking. What are you more concerned about, having to use Barclay until week 8, or are you more concerned with David Bakhtiari really showing a regression through 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's tough not to be worried about Bakhtiari. You know, you hope this is just a little dip. We've seen 2 seasons of him being pretty solid in pass blocking, but at some point you have to worry that it's a trend. And if he's not good as a pass blocker, then he's not really good as a left tackle at all. I mean, he's clearly not improved as a run blocker this season. James Starks ran into his back about 3 yards deep in the backfield on one play in yesterday's game. So his run blocking is still not there. And if he continues to get just pushed back in the passing game, then that's going to be a problem. Obviously Barclay is going to be in there for a little while, and you hope that, you know, you don't continue to see two tackles being pushed, you know, both into Rodgers on basically every passing play. Rodgers is able to escape it quite a bit, actually. I don't know how many sacks did he take?
Only two. He took 2 sacks. Part of the, you know, you and I talk a lot about Pro Football Focus on this podcast. That's not lost on anybody. Part of the reason that the grades were so bad was Barclay was credited with 10 quarterback hurries. Now, those aren't hits, but that's just, you know, when you saw Rodgers dancing around, and with a quarterback that isn't the greatest living football player on this planet, that you might have been more of an issue. And I think that Rodgers really masked that. And there's a lot of, I wouldn't call it outrage, but there's a lot of blowback on Twitter and things like that on that grade, that, you know, people did feel like Barclay kind of held his own, and for him to grade out so negatively was an issue. But you and I went back and looked at at least the condensed game, and Rodgers was moving around a lot because Barclay was kind of not always in the best position.
I think he actually did a decent job of keeping his guy in front of him. He was just blown back too much. He was 4 or 5 yards back in the backfield and just getting backed into Rodgers, and that allowed Rodgers to move around and not get wrapped up by the defender. But you just can't work consistently with your right tackle in Rodgers' lap. It's not gonna work long term, and obviously it's going to be a little while with Barclay in there at right tackle, and hopefully Bulaga comes back and is able to finish the season healthy and be a better right tackle than Barclay. But for a little while, it looks like it's going to be an issue. Now, hopefully less talented fronts cause less of a problem, but it's not good with the way Barkley looked and the way Bakhtiari looked. If that doesn't get fixed, we might have some issues on the offensive line. We're going to talk about the defensive backs a little bit. We've had a little bit of inconsistent play out of Sam Shields. Didn't look good week one. Looked pretty good yesterday against Seattle. Casey Hayward on the outside is not looking great. He is pretty clearly better on the inside as a nickel corner. But what do you think about the Demaryius Randall, our first round pick? He's got a little bit of snaps and has done something with him.
Oh, he was awesome yesterday. Didn't allow a completion. Played awesome against the Bears in a lot more snaps because he got that outside corner role in the nickel because Morgan Burnett was gone and Micah Hyde was playing safety. Here's a problem. Casey Hayward should be playing inside. He's the best slot corner in the league. Mm-hmm. Outside, he gave up a really long completion yesterday. Haha, Clinton Dix wasn't – that was kind of – it was 10-0. Green Bay had Seattle in third and long. There's a chance to kind of put – I don't want to say put the game away, but 10-0, deep in their own territory. Green Bay would have taken over around the 35 or 40 after the punt. That really puts Seattle in a tough spot because it mm-hmm. takes away basically everything except for the pass, and they don't have great pass blockers. They don't have great pass receivers. Whatever your opinion of Russell Wilson is, whatever. I don't care. But my point is that he gave up a long pass on the outside. Mm-hmm. Our best two outside corners are Demaryius Randall and Sam Shields. I really believe that, and I've seen that. And the best slot corner in the league is Casey Hayward. Now, what do you do with Micah Hyde? He's a good player. He needs to be on the field. He makes plays. I think you could, and I know this would technically be a dime, but I'd really like to see, at least on second long, third down, I'd like to see Micah playing a little bit of linebacker and pulling Nate mm-hmm. Palmer off the field. But in the standard nickel, maybe you do a little bit of a rotation with Hyde and Randall. If it looks like it's going to be a run, maybe you or say the down and distance says it's going to be a run. Maybe Micah plays mm-hmm. you know, because he's a bigger guy. Right. So the slot when he's playing slot corner against a run, you probably like that a little bit more than Hayward even.
Right.
But if it's a second and nine, if it's third and six, maybe you do pull Hyde off the field and play Randall outside because, I mean, from what we've seen through these first 2 weeks, Randall has the opportunity to be a very, very good corner. And, you know, hashtag Theodore. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that played safety in college, and week one and two of his NFL career, he is playing outside corner absolutely excellently. Mm-hmm. And big shout to Joe Witt. What a coach to get a young, inexperienced player like Randall, that ready to go, I think is pretty awesome. Ryan, yeah. What would you do in the defensive backfield?
Yeah, I think you have to get Randall on the field more. Like you said, get Casey inside where he's best. That's clearly his best position. And it seems like a waste to have him on the outside where he's not – clearly not as good. And when you've got a guy who looks like he can be all right in Demaryius Randall, I think that's a pretty easy decision, is to slide Hayward inside and see what Randall can do on the outside. He's obviously a rookie, just has fairly small snap counts in the first 2 weeks, but he's not getting burned. He's not getting beat. Their defenses aren't picking on him. He looked pretty good in the preseason. I think it's worth giving it a shot and putting him on the outside. Get Casey Hayward where he's best, and then move Micah Hyde around anywhere, really. If he's the inside corner in the dime, if he's playing linebacker in the nickel instead of Nate Palmer, if we're doing a three safety look like we do quite a bit, you can find ways to get Micah Hyde on the field while still having Casey Hayward at his best spot in the slot, and seeing what our first round pick can do on the outside, because it certainly looks so far like he's not going to get lost. He's not going to be a huge liability. Obviously, there's probably going to be some ups and downs with a rookie, but give him a shot. Let him go out there. Put your your best corner in Casey Hayward in the inside where he is his best, and see what happens. I definitely believe that Randall deserves a shot, as a full-time outside corner.
And you know what I want to talk about now?
Mm-hmm.
No running backs. Green Bay was down 17-16. They had given up the lead, gotten a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
But that last big offensive drive in the fourth quarter, the one that took the lead, Eddie Lacy was hurt. James Starks was running the ball just fine. But the Packers came out in one of the sets that I talked about in the preseason. They came out with four wide. Now, obviously, in the preseason, I was kind of hoping that one of the four wide receivers would be Jordy Nelson.
Right.
But we don't have him.
That's anymore.
That is not an option that's been made available to us. So mm-hmm. where there was, hopefully, Jordy Nelson is now James Jones, and that's probably fine. But what we talked about was Cobb and Montgomery, and they used, going down the field, they used Ty Montgomery. They used Richard Rodgers, and they used Randall Cobb in the backfield. Now, obviously, Richard Rodgers is not going to be taking any handoffs. That's not going to happen.
Probably not.
But, I mean, he was playing that John Kuhn pass protector role.
Yep.
You know, if they don't blitz, he probably runs
it. Runs out into the,
exactly.
into the flat. It, does, yep. Yeah.
But what we saw from them was almost indefensible. I mean, they ran Cobb out of the backfield, and he was one-on-one with Earl Thomas, which did not go super great for Earl Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And Ty Montgomery went to work. They ran some bubble screen stuff with him. He looks so strong with the ball in his hands. What did you think of Montgomery and the way that he played?
Yeah, it's pretty clear that, you know, without your big weapon in Jordy Nelson and with Eddie Lacy sidelined, he's a guy who should have the ball in his hands at least a little bit. Obviously, you're still looking for Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb to be your big targets, but clearly he can do some stuff with the ball around the line of scrimmage. A little bubble screen out to the right ended up in a first down. He had a short crossing route that ended up in another first down. I don't know if he's going to be much of a downfield threat right away, but clearly if you can get him the ball around the line of scrimmage, he's going to be strong with it. He's going to be clearly has the speed getting around the edge on that little bubble screen. He got more yards than you would expect on that play. It looked like Seattle had it defended fairly well, but Montgomery just ran by some guys. But yeah, he looks like a guy who can make some plays, and not just in the return game like we were expecting. He's a guy you can design a little play for, and if he's got the defense's fourth best defensive back on him, it's going to be something that's going to work. Rodgers is going to be able to find ways to exploit a matchup like that, and it looks like he's going to be, a playmaker with the ball in his hands.
One, it didn't even look like it needed to be gimmicky stuff. I mean, that was the biggest third down of the season.
Yeah.
And he ran a 10-yard crossing pattern and beat either their dime or their nickel. I'm not mm-hmm. sure. I just know it wasn't Richard Sherman.
Right. Yeah.
And he got a huge first down,
mm-hmm.
and that was awesome. I can't believe how strong Richard Rodgers' hands are.
Yeah.
I mean, that
the guy catches everything.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
He's an excellent red zone target. I mean, that's who Rodgers went to take the lead there. And that catch on the two-point conversion when he got up and told Bobby Wagner exactly what he thought of Bobby mm-hmm. Wagner was awesome, because Wagner had been kind of playing him pretty cheap all day, grabbing on him. You know, not Richard Rodgers wasn't getting the calls that he thought, and he kind of he did grab on him. I mean, they called pass interference on the 2-point conversion. That's an actual thing that happened,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so impressed with Richard Rodgers.
Yeah. When Aaron Rodgers can get the ball anywhere near his hands, Richard comes down with it. It's crazy how good his hands are. He's not obviously going to get a lot of separation in the passing game. He just doesn't have the speed or the route running ability yet, but he's a big body who can just box a guy out like you saw on the touchdown. He just got the cornerback behind him, stuck his hands out, Rodgers put it there, and the corner couldn't get around, and Rodgers' hands were strong enough to keep that ball while he had a defender on his back, and that's something he's going to be good at. He's we've talked about him not being a big threat to go for 8 catches for 120 yards, but the guy's a weapon in short yardage and in the red zone. He has some talents that Aaron Rodgers is clearly able to take advantage of. It's nice to see him. I really like Richard Rodgers as a player, and in his second year, he's got a lot of room to grow and a lot of room to build more of a rapport with the quarterback. And I think we're really going to see some good things out of Richard Rodgers.
Ryan, you and I could sit and talk about the Seahawks game forever and ever, but we're kind of on a time limit. Plus, I don't think people want to listen to us talk that long.
Probably not.
So let's move on a little bit. Let's talk about the Chiefs game that's coming up. Mm-hmm. We've got an 8-day wait this time. We're going to play on Monday Night Football. It'll be another night game. Just briefly, why don't you go with what worries you the most and why do you think we'll win? Or what's our biggest strength, I guess, against Kansas City?
What worries me the most is a little bit what we talked about earlier. Jamaal Charles at running back is not a guy that you're worried, you know, that's going to be going right up the middle behind the center. We talked about Raji and Daniels being able to plug up the middle, but Jamaal Charles is going to do his damage on the edge. He's going to use his speed to get, you know, to get to that second level around the edge on tosses, on stretch plays, on whatever it might be. And so that's something that needs to get shored up. He's a big-time playmaker. He can break it for 60, 70 yards at any point. And if the edge run defense isn't shored up, it's probably been a big weakness for the Packers defense in the first 2 weeks. That's somewhere where the Chiefs offense is going to be able to do some damage. I'm not really worried about Alex Smith doing a lot of damage with their wide receiver core. I think Jeremy Maclin, clearly an upgrade over what they had last year, but I still don't think their receivers are talented enough to really hurt the Packers' defensive backs. Travis Kelce will obviously be a little bit of a challenge, but Jamaal Charles running on the edges is what I'm really worried about. As far as the Packers' strengths, the Chiefs' corners, I don't think, are going to be able to handle the wide receiver sets with Cobb and Jones and Adams. And if we do go to that 4-wide, 1 tight end, I don't think they're going to be able to handle that. Marcus Peters, the rookie, has played pretty well in his first 2 games. Eric Berry's obviously back as a safety. He's a very good player. But the other 2 corners they have primarily out there have not been very good in the first 2 weeks. And I think Rodgers is just going to feast on those guys. He's going to do what he always does, take advantage of the matchups, put his receivers in good spots, and he's going to pick apart those lesser cornerbacks. And you know, you might see with Marcus Peters, you know, a little dip. He's a young guy. You don't expect him to sustain a really high level of play consistently in every game. And if anybody's going to make him look bad for the first time, it's probably going to be Aaron Rodgers. So I think Rodgers and the receiving core are gonna have a big day. We'll see if we have Lacey in the game, but if it's going to be James Starks and up against the they have a pretty good front seven. They I don't think there's going to be a lot of room to work in the running game. I think it's going to be a passing game where we do the damage on offense, especially if Lacey's not in there.
I agree with a lot of what you just said. One of the big concerns I have, Justin Houston is a hell of a player.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to probably block him with Don Barkley because he does play the strong side for them. So he's going to go up against Donnie, and that's a little bit concerning. Their rush defense is actually pretty useful. Derek Johnson's a good player. Dontari Poe is a good player. I don't know if we're even going to have Eddie Lacy in this game. If we don't, Alonzo Harris,
it's going to be that backup running back.
We'll be up. You know, I mean, he was down. He was not part of the 53 in this game. And then third string running back is going to be Randall Cobb or Ty Montgomery or John Kuhn. I mean, they're not going to carry 3 usually on game day. It doesn't seem like, because they have these unique sets. And at the same time, yeah, Martellus Bennett didn't have a great day. I mean, he scored that big touchdown, but he was quiet, and then they completely shut down Jimmy Graham. But Travis Kelce is another fantastic tight end. And historically, with weak inside linebacker play, we have not done great against tight ends. Now, it seems to me like even though Nate Palmer's a converted defensive end into an outside linebacker and then into an inside linebacker, somehow coverage is his greatest skill. So I actually think that they might be okay again if they just keep kind of the same game plan. What I am happy about, or what I do like about a matchup with the Chiefs, is that they have such a, you play on such a short field, because Alex Smith is not going deep, and he's not going to beat you around the edges like a Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. They can play on a condensed field, and Capers can pretty much kind of do what he wants. Offensively, I mean, it's just going to be another, you know, Packers home game. It's going to be quiet. Rodgers is going to be able to get whatever he wants. Against the Seahawks, you know, he's not usually going to take it up top. And actually, we haven't seen them take it up top, period. And
through the first 2 weeks, through,
But at the same time, Jordy's not here. The offense certainly hasn't had a problem scoring. It still looks great. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced that that doesn't mean that James Jones isn't going over the top. Or, you know, eventually they're going to run some of their deep stuff. They just they haven't done it yet, and that's fine. But against the Chiefs, like I said, you play on a condensed field on defense, so getting ahead on offense is going to be a big deal, because if you start blowing out the Chiefs, all of a sudden Alex Smith, who really only has Kelce and Jeremy Maclin to throw to, he's got to beat you. And you've taken Jamal Charles basically out of the game. That's tough, you know, for them, and the way that Alex Smith likes to dink and dunk. If they get down big, they're not a team that I have a great deal of concern
with their ability to come back.
Right, exactly, exactly. Ryan, let's make some predictions on this game as far as the score is concerned. Why don't you go first?
Well, I think obviously the Packers offense is going to work really well at home. Wouldn't surprise me. We talked a little bit about this earlier. Wouldn't surprise me if the 27 points scored against the Seahawks is the lowest amount that is scored by the Packers at Lambeau this season. So I'm going to go with a higher point total. I'm going 37, 10 more points, 37-24 as a final. I think it's about a two touchdown game. I think the offense is going to put up a bunch of points, and I think the Chiefs will be able to score a little bit, but not enough to keep up with the offense. I think about a two touchdown game.
I think that your thinking's along the right line. I'm not predicting an Old Testament beatdown like was given to Chicago last year, Minnesota last year, Carolina last year, Philadelphia last year, but it's going to be in that same vein. I've got 41-20. I don't think that the Chiefs are on the same level as the Seahawks, and I think this Packers offense is really ready to just bust loose. Mm-hmm. Not that they haven't played well yet,
but they're getting comfortable with the new personnel without Jordy in there.
Exactly. So I've got 41-20. Guys, if you enjoy listening to the show, we just asked two things that would help us out greatly. Subscribe to the Packers Talk Network on iTunes. If you do that, our show, along with all the other fantastic shows on Packers Talk, will automatically be downloaded onto the device of your choice. And also give us a rating on iTunes, preferably a positive rating. we would appreciate that very much. That helps basically, not to get too inside baseball here, but when someone searches Packers on iTunes, it makes us come up higher or sooner and gets us more listeners, which allows us to provide better content for you. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Uglum. You can follow the show at From the Benches. Ryan, where can we find you?
I am at Hillisland358.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and go Pack, go.
From the Benches. From the Benches.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.